let's learn. Okay, so tonight is the 17th shiur of Perek Gimel in Shara Bitochen, and we're learning it Lilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim ben Nosson, whose daughter is hostess of the shiur. We thank her. Okay, he's talked about Ishtadlus, and he said that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you firmly believe, and you, I don't, what, okay, so we're on, when I stop talking and start reading text, we're going to start from the second line on page Kuf Lamed Zayin. So he's talking about why HaKadosh, everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen, it will. But he made a world of cause and effect. Why did he do so? He gives two reasons. The first reason is because that's where life, that's what life is all about, making choices and Bechira. And Bechira is to be found as you go through life and you have to do things. If you didn't have to do anything, so you'd be in Gan Eden and there would be no Bechira there. You would just, everything would happen. So like this, you have to work, and you have to not work on Shabbos, and you have to not cheat your customer, and you have to not talk Lashon Hara, and you have to not put down the other person to get the job, and all the things of life. That's his first reason. His second reason is that that to keep you busy. Because mankind, if they wouldn't be busy, would get into trouble, and they would pursue too much leisure time, so they pursue their hanos, they pursue gashmius, they forget Hashem. History shows that the nisoyon of osher, riches, is much harder to overcome than the nisoyon of oni, although maybe it's more pleasant, a nisoyon. But and we don't think of it so much as a nisoyon, but if you look in the Chumash, and the famous pasuk Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, and history shows that when it's, you know, just like you learn better when it's a little cold and you're a little hungry, and when, no, isn't that, that's not as true, when you're a little cold and a little hungry, not when I'm hot though, hot I can't, but when you're a little cold and a little hungry, you learn better, you're more focused, you're sharper. And when you've just eaten a full meal and you're yawning and you, it's harder to stay focused. But kids, when you're involved, so Hashem wants to keep you busy. He says, go work for a living. The Chavis Halvodas throughout Shar HaBitochon, although everything he says is true in the whole scope of life, but he puts particular emphasis and he constantly harps on the theme of Parnosa, of working. Because that's really, if you think about life, that's that's what we spend our day with. We spend our day with sustaining ourselves, making sure we have money to buy food, to pay the rent or the mortgage, to have food on the table, preparing the food, getting the food, eating, clothing, lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. That's what we spend our olam hazeh doing. So really, it's. It makes sense that he focuses on that. So that's the second reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world of Ishtadlus, in order to keep you busy, to keep you out of mischief. Okay, we're going to skip down. We won't start from the second line of page Kuf Lamed Zayin. We'll start from around the middle of page Kuf Lamed Zayin, where the first word on the line is lochein. There's a yud aleph in a parentheses, and then there's the word lochein. Okay? Lochein, therefore. Therefore, now the Chavis Halvavos, now everybody, you're going to get your wish. Chavis Halvavos goes off on a tremendous tangent that maybe you would want to skip. He goes off on a tangent. Because now that he said this, he says that a tzaddik, someone who's already been bocher betov, someone who we don't think will get into mischief, and someone that we know already will listen to Hashem. I mean, he's proven himself So then that person would have an easy parnasa. He wouldn't have to work. He would barely have to do anything, because the two reasons don't apply to him. I just gave you two reasons why life is a struggle, why you have to put in so much effort to what anyway is only either yes, the will of Hashem that you'll have parnasa, or not the will of Hashem. But you have to work very hard anyway. So hard do you have to work that maintaining bitachon becomes a very spiritual struggle, because you're working so hard, and it certainly looks like you're eating the fruits of your own labors. Right? That's why Zeroyim is called Emunas in the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk, and each word of the Pasuk stands for a different Seder of Shas. So the Seder of Zeroyim, which talks about agricultural halachas, is called Emunah. So Tosis explains in Brachas, because the farmer has to have a farmer has to have bitachon, has to have Emunah. He puts all his work into it, and he has to think, oh, but it's not really me. Hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Baruch atah Hashem avokeinu melech haolam. Hamotzi lechem in haaretz. After months and months of back-breaking labor in the field, he has to say, Baruch atah Hashem avokeinu melech haolam. Hashem is the motzi lechem in haaretz. Anyway, so all that hard work, but a tzaddik doesn't have to work hard, because the tzaddik has proven himself, the Hashem. So he doesn't have to... He won't get into mischief, and he's already been bocher betov. And then, I'm just giving you an introduction, then he says, wait a second, tzaddikim have it rough also. I know a lot of tzaddikim that don't have parnasa. Right? So then he goes off on a tangent called tzaddik v'ralo. Why do tzaddikim have, you know, the famous philosophical question of Rasha v'tovlo? So now the Chazal Vavos and Shar HaBitachon goes off on a tangent, and he starts discussing philosophically the problem in the Bria of tzaddik v'ralo. Why do tzaddikim have it difficult? It doesn't make sense. So again, how did he lead up to it? Because he gave his reason for hishtadlus, why you have to work so hard. He then said, logically, that a tzaddik would not have to work hard, because the reasons don't apply. And he takes the reasons seriously, the Chavisal Vos. So then he says, wait a second. I know a lot of tzaddikim. They work very hard. So he says, that gets us into the question of tzaddik v'ralo, which he goes on to explain. And he right, that's Sefer Eov, that's Moshe Rabbeinu saying, you know, Hareini no es kvodecha, let me understand. And Hashem said, even this you won't understand. These are... Eov is a very, right? Eov is a sefer that grapples with the issue. And to our day, right, we had this Apicurus write a book about it. Right? What's his name? A few years ago? Why bad things happen to good people? Yeah, so that book is full of Apicurus from beginning to end. But you see people grapple with it's a book that says Hashem, I don't want to say what it says there, it's kofar in Ikrei Emuna, that Hashem is Mashgiach over the world, that Hashem controls everything that happens, that Hashem is good. My point is to say that people, to this day, it's an issue to be grappled with. Okay, so we're going to learn inside. So, lochein, therefore, in hoyamadif mishmas Hashem, if someone gives precedence to listening to Hashem, ubocher sabudaso, he is already in the habit of choosing good, uboteach olov, and he trusts in Hashem, binyanei dosu v'olomo, misrachek min hamigros, and he stays away from things that are detrimental to his spiritual health, umishtokek el hamalos, v'ein hamanucha. And he could be sure that if he takes it easy, meaning if he has it good, if things, he doesn't have the problem of Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. We're not afraid. When this person has leisure time, he's going to run to the Beis Medrash and learn. We know that. So, Ein HaMenucha Meviyosu Lidei Be'ita, it won't lead to his rebelling, it won't lead to his being involved in leisure activities which are harmful to him. He won't just while away the time with narishkeiten, with foolishness. I was about to say he won't take a cruise around the world, but I don't want to insult anybody. Maybe people here have taken cruises around the world. But when you take a cruise around the world, you should have in mind to look at Niflos Habore. I don't know if you've seen Niflos Habore from the cruise ship, but if you go on a trip, you really, really, it's hard for us to listen to these things. A Jew, really, a man or a lady, doesn't have leisure time. Everything is leisure time when you just do nothing. If you're relaxing, it's a difficult thing, but it's a difficult thing. Stern? Oh, it's a difficult thing, but it's really very rewarding. Because let's say I make the statement, a Jew should never have leisure time. So you say, I can't sit down in my easy chair and relax? What are you talking about? So the answer is, of course you can, because just like you have to sleep at night, so right, and that's a need, so you have to unwind and you have to relax also. Now it becomes a big mila. When a guy relaxes, or someone that doesn't learn Chayvus Halvavus, so he relaxes, and he or she relaxes, and they're not doing anything constructive. They're wasting time. But Chayvus Halvavus teaches us, all you have to do is one little trick. Just have in mind, this is Hashem's will. I'm relaxing so that I could have koach to do what I'm supposed to do. Just like I sleep at night to have koach to do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm taking off, and I'm reading a book even. Sometimes you need mental relaxation. Sometimes you need physical relaxation. So, ironically, because a Jew doesn't have leisure time in which he or she does nothing, so he or she should turn everything. The Chavit HaLovah says a person goes to work. So you're an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. When you're sleeping, when you're going to work, all you have to do is thinking, I'm doing this because it's the will of Hashem. That's all. If you can train yourself to think that one sentence, you can do anything you want. No, not everything. You can't do everything you want. But when you're relaxing, really, or when you go to sleep, or when we eat, this is what we're supposed to do. When we eat, we're supposed to say, I'm eating because it's the will of Hashem, because it gives me strength. And if you're saying, but wait a second, why do I eat this gishmaka piece of cake? So philosophically, it's not simple. So the best we can come up with is to say that just like, first of all, maybe we shouldn't. But second of all, if we're going to, so if it's Shabbos or Yontif, so then it becomes a mitzvah, right? We're enjoying Shabbos. It's enhancing our enjoyment of Shabbos or Yontif. If it's on a regular day, we should really try at least, just like when we look at a pretty picture or a flower or a sunset, we say, wow, look what Hashem made in the world. So when we do things that maybe we ought not to be doing in terms of luxury, we should at least use the opportunity. It sounds a little hypocritical, but you have to try. You have to try to connect it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. Gain a greater appreciation for what Hashem created in the world. Hashem did create luxuries in the world, right? Just like Hashem created bread and water, so Hashem created seven-layer cake also. He created a Mercedes Benz. It is something. It's hard to turn it into Avodas Hashem, but it could be done.
Why is it good enough to have estate wagon as child after Hashem?
I'm saying, yeah, but if you find yourself able to afford luxuries and you go ahead and you have them, people have geschmacka houses, people have jacuzzis, right? So you should try at least to connect it without. If you can't, and you say, the flesh is weak, what should I do? Okay, don't lie to yourself. A person should never lie to themselves and should try to be sincere. But really, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, if we're able to take advantage of it, so we should. Not we should, I'm saying we should connect it to Him. If we find ourselves in that situation, if you find yourself relaxing, that's really what the Chodesh Lubavitch is talking about. The tzaddik relaxes and he says, okay, I'm relaxing because it's like when I sleep at night, so I'm relaxing now. You should never just do nothing. It's a hard task.
Australia, yeah. It was many years ago when my second son got married, who had a Rolls Royce, and he used to make a point of using it for every chasana.
Ah, okay.
Took the chasana to the...
That's a different mitzvah. He did a mitzvah. You could do mitzvahs with it, right?
And he used to take the chasana collar.
Right, you could do mitzvahs with the luxuries. That's true.
Not a cop-out.
Every person's different. I can't answer the question. If a rich person came to me and said, should I buy, a luxury car or a luxury house? Or I don't know. It depends on the person. I know people who have luxuries and they're simple people and they do it. There's no mitzvah to shy, it really depends on the person. Every person's different. Sometimes a person's avoda in the world would be to go away from these things and not be involved at all in chumriyus. And some people, Hashem made an awful lot of people, and every person has their own avoda. And if a person is wealthy and has luxuries, but you see, he's koveya itam l'torah, and he gives tzedakah, and he's not a bal gaiva. So he has no obligation, even philosophically, to divest himself of all his money and to live, a meeting ends meet existence. There's no such din. The Torah, the Avos, Avram was a millionaire. Avram was tremendously wealthy. Avram had Tzon, Ubokar, and Kesev, and Zon, and Gemalim, and Shvachos, and Avodim. The others were wealthy. Wealth is something Hashem created, and it's a Maila. It's good to have it. You have a risk. Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivat. You have to give tzedakah. The Gemara says in Ksubis, Lufum Gamla Shichna. According to the strength of the camel, is its responsibility of burden. So a person has a lot of money, he has a responsibility to give more tzedakah. It's very scary to have a lot of money. We learned that in the Chavis HaLavos, in a different shar. He says, you have a lot of money, who says you're fulfilling your obligation to give tzedakah? Someone knocks on the door, you give him 10 shekel. And you should give him 20 shekel. And I should be giving him 50 shekel. Yikes. An oni doesn't have this problem. He gives him 10 agurot, and he's a tzaddik. So an usher has, okay, but so I'm just talking about one aspect of it. You want to relax, you can turn it into Avodas Hashem. Just like the Chavis Halvava says, and is going to say more in Shaar B'Tochen, that when you go to work, you can easily turn it into Avodas Hashem. Just say, I'm doing this because it's the will of Hashem. You're in the kitchen, I'm doing this because it's the will of Hashem. It's so easy, it's easy to be an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. All you have to do is, it has to be true. I'm doing this because it's the will of Hashem that I do that. And you turn yourself into an Eved Hashem. Therefore, so the Chavis HaLavos says, the tzaddik, he is not going to be a batlon, he's not going to waste his time. He's not going to be drawn into the gashmias of the world that are the alluring things in this world. So nifrek mimenu, he indeed escapes from his askus pasibos. He doesn't have to. This is theoretical. In the next paragraph, he's going to ask the kasha that it doesn't. Reality lechora does not reflect this theory. But right now he's talking in theory. Since the reasons for hishtadlus and for working so hard are the reasons I gave, so a tzaddik who is okay, so he doesn't have any more the burden of his askus besibus k'day l'hasik tirpo, the burden of busying himself with cause and effect things in order to get his parnosa. Machmas prika shneho ofanim hanaskarim mayolim, because he has removed from himself the two reasons for having such a burden. Klomar habechina, that's bechira, testing him if he's going to listen to Hashem or not. Vabita betova, and the vayishman yeshurun vayibat attitude. Therefore, utvoeo parnasos ulelo koshi, the tzaddik gets parnasa without difficulty, ulelo torach, kidei sifko umazono. Kamosha omar lo yarev Hashem nefet tzaddik. And he says, the im yomar adam, but if a person asks, wait a second, hinenu roem miktsas tzaddikim. The truth is, he says, some tzaddikim. The truth is that, you know, you look at people that are wealthy, rishayim, they don't have good lives. That, in general. Really, the Chavis HaLodos, when he addresses the issue of Tzadik Viralo and Rosh HaVetovlo now, he says that they're exceptions to the rule. In general, good people have good lives. Because how do you measure a good life? You don't measure it by the money in the bank. You measure a good life if you're happy, if you have family, if you have nachas from your children, if you're healthy, if you're serene, if you're calm, if you're happy with life, that's a good life. And a Rasha, a rich person, go look at the lives of rich people, there's nothing to be envious of. They're tense, they're nervous, they're always thinking, they don't have really friends, they're always thinking if their friends are only friends because they're so wealthy, now they have to be afraid that their child will be kidnapped, and terrorism, and they have to put up security systems, and then they're nervous wrecks, they're popping pills for stress and for who knows what. Even in Golos, you know, the Kuzari makes a very interesting historical point. The Kuzari says, you know, if you look in the history of the Jews in Golos, it says, oh man, like, pogroms and expulsions, and what a lousy history we had. He says that's the culmination and the curse of Golos. But the truth is, when the Jews are in Golos, and it's in between when it all blows up, he says, if you look at history, the Kuzari says, and it really bears out to be very true, the Jews always had a better standard of living. They didn't have a better standard of living than the Poritz Goy, that was the Gvir that owned the whole town. But your regular Jew always had a higher standard of living than the peasant, always more educated, obviously literate. He was a mensch. The peasants the Jews always really were healthier, they were always clean, and they kept a clean house, and sanitary. The Jews, even in Golos, had it better than, in general, the Jews had better lives than the Goyim.
Even today?
What?
Even today? In the white trash.
Today, it depends what you're comparing it to. The Jew has a better family life, there's less divorces, there's the family ties, the family bond. On average, you can't compare the guy in the street. You can't compare your average guy in the street with I would say a Harvard professor, but the Harvard professor's a maneuver, right? Who knows what he's doing? So that's the Kuzari's point. So really, tzaddik, the point I want to make is that tzaddik viralo is an exception. Your average tzaddik indeed has parnasa. He's some ech b'chelko. You're not starving in the street. and he's happy, and he has his family, and he celebrates Shabbos and Yom Tov, and he has bitachon, and he's a happy person. He's calm, he's serene, he's happy, and he's not a fool. You know, sometimes you say, okay, he's happy, but what is he? He's not missing anything in his life. What is he missing? He's missing the latest MP5 player. He doesn't have. He doesn't have MP4, MP3. Or he's not missing anything. So it's really illusory. Most things that we think we're missing are illusory. They're not really anything that we don't really need them to fill up our lives. Our biggest happiness comes from simple things. And so with Tzadik Viralo, the Tzadik that is constantly hungry and his kids are crying for food and his wife dresses in rags, it's the exception. It's not the rule. It's an exception that the Chavis HaLodos now addresses. Why do any exceptions exist? Tzadik Viralo and Rasha V'Tovlo is a question that has to be addressed, even if it is a minority, even if it is an exception, even if it's not the norm. But it still has to be, yes, so he addresses it. In Yomer Adam, and if a person says, so logically, after what I've said, Hinni Roam, but we see Mitzah Tzadikim, some Tzadikim, Ein Parnasosam Mizdamenes Lohem, Ela La'achat Torech V'Yagia, they have to struggle and work and they have to bring in, to put bread on the table. Bahar Bimina Rishom, and we see Rishom Hein Benachas, B'chayehim D'sheinim U'shleivim, they're really not so D'sheinim U'shleivim, I'm telling you. They're really, if you talk to them, if you would take a survey, and then say, are you happy? Do you have a happy life? You know, he's on his third wife, and his kids are on drugs, and he's on drugs, and he's afraid his employees are embezzling from him all his money. And he's afraid of being kidnapped, and he has to check his car for bombs. It's not a joke. You know, these people have these really heavy security systems by their house, especially nowadays. Lindbergh became famous. The next thing you knew, his kid was kidnapped and killed. Right? If Lindbergh, you know Charles Lindbergh, you know that? It's a long time ago. It's like 100 years ago almost. But it was very famous. It was a famous thing that happened. Amarti, so the Chavis HaLodos says, this is a major, major question. You know, I remember in America, like the mafia. The mafia kills more Italians than anybody else. And the Schwarzes kill, the blacks kill in the slums, you know, where they have the drugs and everything, they kill more blacks. They don't go around killing. They kill more of their own than they kill the good people. And by their own, I mean the drug addicts and the criminal elements. They kill themselves more than they kill others. Things are not as, the world is not as topsy-turvy as we think. Al Kaponim Amarti, the Chavis HaLodos says, the third line in the paragraph, the Im Yomer Adam, the third line, Kavar Lefanim, Chakru Hanavim V'Chasidim Alinyan Zeh. He says, this is not a local question that you're asking on me, Mr. Chavis HaLodos, because I told you why you have to struggle for parnosa, and according to that, a tzaddik shouldn't have to struggle for parnosa, and we find some tzaddikim do struggle for parnosa. What do you want from me, Mr. Chavis HaLodos? This is a major philosophical issue called tzaddik viralo. That's what it is. You're not asking a kasha on my pshat in struggling for parnosa. The point you're raising, he says, is a broad inyan called tzaddik viralo, and it has to do with sickness and disease and getting murdered and having a hard life. And we find tzaddikim. We find bad things happen to good people. So this is a larger picture issue. So that's what he says first. Then he goes to explain it. I'm saying because the Lotus goes off now on a tremendous tangent. And he will talk for a while about different philosophical ways of dealing with tzaddik viralo. Amarti kvar lefonim chok. So his first thing is, it's not a local question. You didn't schlug me up. You're raising a basic, general philosophical principle. Nevi'im asked the question. Chassidim asked the question. Mehem Mishamar, we find in Yirmiyahu, Madua Derech Rishon Tzolcha. Why is the ways of Rishon successful? The Acharomer in a Chavakuk says, Loma Tareini Yobel, why do you show me evil for Omol Tabit and people are doing, you know, robbers? Showed Chomos Lenegdi, Vihi Rivamos Don Yisab. The Omar Ki Rasha Machdir is Hatzadik. Sometimes a Rasha rules over a tzaddik. V'omar tachrish, how can you be quiet? Kabbalah rasha tzaddik mimenu. When a rasha swallows up the tzaddik. V'acher omar hineyeir l'rishoyim. These people are rishoyim. But v'shal v'yolim is kuchoyim. They're b'shalva. They're living peacefully. V'omar, and it says another pasuk in Tilla, machrik zikisi livavi, I have purified my heart. V'rechatz b'nikoyon kapoy. But v'hinogua kalayom. And the whole day I'm nagua, I'm like with a nega. The sochachti, and I am rebuked, labakorim. It's like every morning I get another rebuke. We go to page Kuflamet Ches. V'omar acher b'loshan anche doro, gam nivnu ose risha, gam bachnu alokin v'yimoleitu. They escaped. The people did wicked things and they escaped and they lived to tell the tale. The Harbe Kiyotze Beilu. These are all Psukim and Nach. Nevi'im wondered about these things. Ella, the truth is that the Navi never answers the question, the Chavis Vavoda says. We don't find a clear answer. There's no answers. The Navi does not give us answers. Ella Shekitzer HaNavi B'Tshuvosu Milafarish Tam HaDavar. And he says, you know, I'm going to tell you why. Chavis Vavoda says, you know why the Navi doesn't answer? Because there's no one answer. There's many answers, and the different answers apply in different cases. So the Navi couldn't give one answer. As a philosophical issue, it doesn't have one philosophical answer. Maybe the one philosophical answer is you have to trust in Hashem, and Hashem knows what he's doing, and Hashem doesn't do, an avla. Kel emuna ve'ein ovel. But that's not a real teretz. That's what you have to believe. That doesn't answer the question. Right? It doesn't answer the question. It just tells you, be quiet and keep going. Which, sometimes that's the only answer. Vayido maharon. Sometimes the only answer to tragedy is to be quiet. And to just think that Hashem knows what he's doing. And to go by them. But he says, the Navi, interesting, the Chavis HaVavos, he says, the Navi doesn't address the issue because there's different answers, but every case has its own answer. He's not telling, you could say, believe Hashem's great and good. It's good, we believe it, but there has to be an answer in each case. The answer is not, be quiet, Hashem is good. That's not an answer, that just tells us how to live. But there is an answer. So every case has a different answer, he says. So the Navi couldn't address the answer because it's multi answers. Every case is different. The reason for each of the tzaddikim hamisnasim who are having these tests of these nisyonos and these difficulties, the chol achad min harishom, and all of the rishoyim who are shlevim, who are serene and calm, bolam hazeh, Zulas Hasiba Shal Acher. Everyone has a different reason. There's a different cheshbon for each one. So the Navi couldn't start writing but the Navi is not there to write a 50-page essay, to explain each reason what it possibly could be. Ela Sheheir al Kachba Omro, but we have general statements that say Hanistoros Lashem Elokeinu. This is from this week's parasha. This is very nice that we're reading it now. And it's hidden. The things that we don't understand, we believe that Hashem has a reason for. We believe Hashem has a cheshbon. And we say the hidden things belong to Hashem. There's some things in the world we can't understand. So, we can't understand them. We're stumped. That Yido Maharon. The Holocaust. I mean, look what just happened to Claudius Yisrael a few short years ago. So, you know, the this, that, that, but ultimately, you know, we don't know why things happen. And that has to be accepted. If you're going to be a truly religious Jew, you're going to have to accept that there are things that we will not understand. I speak about the Haftarah in Shul every Friday night between Kabbalah Shabbos and between Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. I do the Haftarah the next day. Your husband told you?
Such a you question.
Yeah, because last week I spoke you out without saying your name. Because in this last Haftarah, it says when great things happen to Klal Yisrael, and Mashiach comes and everything's great, so the Navi uses a very strange word. He says, Upachad, Upachad, Lubavech, you're going to be scared. So I said, someone who has a loveless Shia said that whenever good things are happening to her, she gets scared it's going to be taken away. So I said, that's what the Navi was saying. That's how Klal Yisrael will. That's the pshat in the Navi. Upachad, Verachav, Lubavech. You're going to have all these people streaming in, and you know, it's going to be built up, and good things are going to be happening, and you're afraid you're going to lose it again. Right, we lost the first base on Mikdash, we lost the second base on Mikdash, you'll be scared. Anyway, so the first posuk of the Haftarah last week was Kumi Ori Kivo Orech Ukvor Hashem Alayach Zorach, rise and shine. That's where the expression comes from. The first two words of last week's Haftarah. Kumi Ori is rise and shine. And it talks about light. There will be light. There will be light. So I explained the Navi in the first three psukim of last week's Haftarah keeps talking about light and shining and glowing and brightness. So I explained, based on the Mefarshim, that it means that we'll perceive everything. All the things that are now choshech, that we don't understand, whether it's national tragedies or personal tragedies, terror victims, terrible things happen in the world. People get sick, you know. We all know of stories. I mean, it seems to us, this I haven't figured out yet, it seems to us there's more tzaras than ever before. It seems to us everybody has a peckle of tzaras. I don't know. Sometimes I think we're just more aware of it. And sometimes I think that commensurate with the creature comforts that we have, that the Jews never had it so good in terms of comfortableness. So, I don't know. People tragically are nifta, people tragically get sick. It's anyway, so we don't understand these
accepted.
Things now. What?
I said it was more accepted when it was more common.
Maybe. Anyway, so we don't understand things. This one leaves over 12 children, and this one leaves over. And we don't understand it, but Lawson Lover will understand it. We'll get a light. Light will shine on the darkness means that we'll be able to understand, we'll be able to deal with and to see. It'll be exposed. What happened? Why did this happen? What need did this fulfill? Why was this a tikkun in the world? What did this accomplish? Why is this part of a larger picture? Well, so that's the light, la'asid lavo. So this confusion where we say hanistoros la'shem elokeinu, that a Jew has to accept that he just doesn't understand things. So I think the Navi is saying that la'asid lavo, we will understand things. We'll see them. We'll perceive them. We'll understand them. There'll be a light shining on the darkness. What darkness means, it's dark, we don't understand, we're confused. And light means it's exposed, it's explained, it shines, it's clear to us. Anyway, so Chaim Shlomo says, and this is his first paragraph, His first paragraph when he talks about it is, this is an old question. This is not a new question. Don't think you chat me that I'm wrong in my pshat about hishtadlus. This is an old question. The Nevi'im discuss it. The Omer HaChacham al Kayotzi Bezer, Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, in Oshek, if the cheating of a Rosh, the Gezel Mishpot, Vatzedek, and Gzela, and corruption, Tireh Bamedina, Al Tisma, Al HaChefetz, don't wonder so much. Don't wonder so much why this is happening, why that's happening. It seems like the whole world's crashing. It's depressing. The Amar HaKosov, Hatzur Tomin Polo, Kholder Achav Mishpat, that's Siddur Kandin. A Jew has to accept that there are things we don't understand and that maybe we'll never understand in this world. Before Mashiach comes, we just won't understand them. They'll be a source of puzzle. Now, in the next paragraph, which we'll learn next week in Mitzvah Hashem, Chavis Halvavus endeavors to give reasons. First, he says, accept that you can't ultimately understand it. Beyond, that's all. Some things we don't understand. And Historos Lashem Elokeinu. Kel Amuna Ve'en Ovel. Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem has a reason for what he's doing. Hashem is good. And Hashem, it's just part of a huge puzzle. That's number one. Having said that, it's very interesting. He says, very interesting. You're asking a kasha on my pshat in Hishtadlus. So realize it's not a kasha on me. It's a general philosophical question that the Nevi'im asked. And they didn't really give an answer, because the answer is different for each person. So there's a lot of answers, and there's no answers. And step one is to realize that there are things we don't understand. That's it. Then he goes on to give you reasons. Well, it might be this reason, and this might be a reason, and that might be a reason. It's all very interesting. It's fascinating. Chavis Halvavus recognizes that a person is a rational being, and he struggles to understand, and he feeds him possible answers. In the next paragraph, he gives a list of 4 or 5 possible answers. But then, you know, we don't understand. We have to have like a bedrock that, you know, we're not going to understand it ultimately. And I guess that's important too, because the answers don't always work out, and we don't really believe the answers, and we say, you know, but how bad can it be already? And does it make sense? So we just... So, step one is you have to accept what Hashem does. That's what a Jew has to do. That's part of the avoda. Kel emuna ve'ein ovel. Hashem doesn't do avlus. Hashem only does what's good. And now let's try to understand it. Okay.
I thought you said there wouldn't be shiur until after
Sukkot. Yes, I decided we'll have one more next week. Why not next week? It'll be the Sunday night before Rosh Hashanah. Is that okay?
Yeah, very good.
And then we'll take a break till after Sukkot.
I think we have a shiur on the Shiur for men on Tuesday.